This is the Synthetic Lens. I'm David Carver. Google I/O is usually a developer conference. This year, it sounded more like a declaration of control over the next interface to the internet. Not one announcement, not one model, not one app. Google spent the conference describing a future where Gemini sits inside Search, Chrome, Workspace, Android, developer tools, video creation, and personal agents. The simplest way to say it is this: Google is trying to turn Gemini from a chatbot into an operating layer. Marcus Chen is here to unpack the technical side. Marcus, start with the headline. What did Google actually reveal?
The headline is that Google is collapsing several AI ideas into one ecosystem. Search becomes conversational. The Gemini app becomes a personal hub. Chrome gets agentic browsing. Developers get anti-gravity, managed agents, AI studio upgrades, Android tooling. Creative users get Gemini Omni for multimodal video. Enterprise users get Gemini Spark as a cloud-based agent. The phrase Google used was the agentic Gemini era. That is marketing, but it is also useful. The company is saying Gemini is no longer a box where you type questions. It is the logic layer across products.
Let's begin where normal people will feel it first. Search.
Search is the big one because it is Google's front door to the web. According to both Google and The Verge, Google is reworking the search box so it can handle longer conversational queries, files, images, videos, and even Chrome tabs. AI overviews and AI mode are meant to feel less like separate products and more like one continuous path. The Verge reports that AI mode is powered by Gemini 3.5 Flash. Users can still get traditional results through the web tab, so the old web is not deleted. But the gravity changes. The interface nudges you toward asking follow-ups and letting Google synthesize the answer.
Which is convenient, and also a direct threat to the open web model.
Exactly. TechCrunch put it bluntly, Google search as you know it is over. That may sound dramatic, but the underlying point is real. If search gives you a generated answer, a custom widget, a booking flow, or an information agent that watches the web for you, fewer people click through to the sites that created the information in the first place. Google would argue it is reducing friction. Publishers would argue Google is moving from traffic broker to answer owner. Both can be true.
The conference was not just about search. Google also talked about raw scale.
Pichai gave some enormous numbers. Google says its AI surfaces now process more than 3.2 quadrillion tokens a month, up from roughly 480 trillion a year earlier and 9.7 trillion 2 years ago. It also says more than 8.5 million developers build with its models monthly. Those numbers matter because they explain Google's strategy. This is not a lab fighting for benchmark headlines. It is a distribution machine. Google has 13 products with more than a billion users each, and 5 with more than 3 billion. If Gemini becomes the invisible layer inside those products, Google does not need people to decide to use an AI app. It can make AI the default texture of software.
And the model layer underneath that is Gemini 3.5.
Right. Google Cloud announced Gemini 3.5 Flash first, with Gemini 3.5 Pro coming after testing. Flash is positioned as the workhorse. Fast, cheaper than comparable frontier models, according to Google, and strong on agentic encoding tasks. The emphasis is important. Google is not just saying this model writes better essays. It is saying the model can act across longer workflows, coding, tool use, enterprise automation, search agents. The model is being tuned for systems that do things, not just systems that talk.
That brings us to Gemini Spark.
Spark is Google's personal agent pitch. TechCrunch describes it as a 24/7 personal AI agent that can keep working in the cloud after you lock your phone. Google Cloud describes Spark for Gemini Enterprise and Workspace customers as an agent that can take action on your behalf under your direction. The examples are familiar but consequential. Inbox work, task prioritization, workspace context, drafts, summaries, monitoring, third-party app connections.
Google says high stakes actions require user permission. That caveat matters. The agent is not supposed to just buy things or send sensitive messages without confirmation.
Still, the line woos.
It does. We have gone from AI helps me write an email to AI watches my work, decides what matters, and prepares actions. That is a different relationship with software. It is also a different relationship with Google because the agent becomes more useful the more of your life it can see.
Ingrid Halvorsen joins us now. Ingrid, this is a product story, but it is also an economic one.
Very much so. The key word is bundling. Google is not selling one agent against another agent. It is bundling the agent into existing distribution. Search, Gmail, Docs, Chrome, Android, Cloud, developer tools. That gives Google an advantage that pure AI labs do not have. OpenAI and Anthropic can build powerful products, but Google can place Gemini where work already happens. If the assistant is already in the browser, the search box, the inbox, and the IDE adjacent tools, the switching cost becomes very high.
And the antitrust question writes itself.
It does. Search was already the center of regulatory concern. Now imagine search that not only ranks the web, but summarizes it, books services, watches topics, builds interface elements, and draws on personal context from Gmail or photos. That is useful. It is also a profound concentration of mediation power. The question for regulators will not be simply, is Google showing links fairly? It becomes, when Google is the answer engine, the agent runtime, and the commercial action layer, what market is left outside Google's frame?
Host Marcus, let's move from agents to media. Gemini Omni got a lot of attention.
It should. Gemini Omni is Google's new multimodal direction, described as a model family that can create any output from any input, starting with video. TechCrunch reports that users can combine text, images, audio, and video, and Omni reasons across those inputs to generate a coherent video. Google frames this as a step toward world models, systems that do not just predict text, but simulate aspects of reality. That phrase deserves caution. It is still a product announcement, not a peer-reviewed definition of intelligence. But the practical feature is clear: conversational video creation and editing.
So instead of opening a video editor, you talk to the model.
Exactly. Change the lighting, alter the camera angle, use an image, a voice track, and a prompt together, generate a claymation explainer from a concept. That makes media production feel less like software operation and more like direction. Google also knows the deepfake concern. TechCrunch reported avatar creation includes onboarding, and that generated videos include Google watermarking or SynthID style safeguards. That is necessary, but not magic. Watermarking helps provenance. It does not eliminate misuse.
Developer tools were another major lane. This is where the conference got less consumer-friendly, but maybe more important.
The developer keynote was packed. Google announced Anti-Gravity 2.0 and an Anti-Gravity CLI for orchestrating agents. It announced managed agents in the Gemini API so developers can spin up hosted agents in secure environments. AI Studio gets native Kotlin support, workspace integrations, one-click deployment to Cloud Run, Firebase support, and project export into Anti-Gravity. Android gets a stable CLI so AI agents can use Android Studio's heavy lifting. Google also announced Android Skills for LLMs, Android Bench as a leaderboard for Android development tasks, and migration tooling for moving apps toward native Kotlin.
Translation for non-developers?
Google is building the roads agents will drive on. The model is one part. But agents also need sandboxes, credentials, build tools, deployment, app frameworks, testing, and guardrails. Anti-Gravity and AI Studio are Google's answer to Codex, Claude Code, and the broader agentic development wave.
Chrome also got pulled into this.
Chrome may be the most interesting long-term move. Google described an agentic web and introduced WebMCP, a proposed standard that lets websites expose structured tools to browser-based agents. Instead of an agent awkwardly clicking through a form, a site could expose machine-friendly actions. That is powerful because it makes agents more reliable. It is also politically loaded.
If Chrome becomes the preferred agent runtime for the web, Google is shaping not only how users browse, but how websites prepare themselves for machine visitors.
We should make room for the everyday product layer, too. Gmail, Docs, Keep, Chrome, Android XR, smart glasses.
Right? Google announced voice features in Gmail, Docs, and Keep. The Gemini app gets a redesign and a daily brief. Chrome gets Gemini as a browsing assistant and eventually automation features. Android XR and smart glasses put Gemini into the physical world. Translation, visual assistance, contextual help. This is the ambient computing vision that companies have been chasing for years. The difference now is that multimodal models make it more plausible. Your assistant can see, hear, read, summarize, generate, and act. That does not mean it will be consistently good, but the product direction is clear.
Ingrid, what is the business strategy underneath all of this?
Rebundle the internet around AI. Google already owns enormous pieces of discovery, productivity, mobile operating systems, browser distribution, cloud infrastructure, and advertising. The risk from AI was that search would be disrupted by answer engines. Google's answer is to become the answer engine before someone else does. And because Google controls so many surfaces, it can make the AI layer feel natural, not go use Gemini. More like, Gemini is what Search does now. Gemini is what Chrome does now. Gemini is how Gmail talks to you now.
What could go wrong?
Plenty. Publishers lose traffic. Users lose visibility into sources. Enterprises become more dependent on a single vendor. Agents make mistakes. Personalization becomes surveillance if mishandled. And when convenience is bundled this deeply, opting out becomes theoretical.
I would add one technical risk: agent reliability. The demos are always clean. Real workflows are messy. Email context is ambiguous. Bookings fail. Websites change. Credentials expire. An agent that can act is more useful than a chatbot, but also more capable of making consequential mistakes.
So where does that leave us?
Google I.O. 2026 was Google saying, we are not going to be the company that gets bypassed by AI. We are going to put AI into the bypass itself. Search becomes AI. The browser becomes an agent host. The app becomes a personal hub. The cloud becomes an agent platform. The developer tools become agent native. Media creation becomes conversational. Android and XR become ambient surfaces.
That is the episode. Google did not just announce features, it showed a map of how it wants the next web to work. The old Google organized the web and sold attention against it. The new Google wants to summarize the web, act on the web, generate parts of the web, and sit between you and the web while doing it. That may be incredibly useful. It may also be the moment when the internet's front door stops looking like a doorway and starts looking like a concierge with its own agenda. For The Synthetic Lens, I'm David Carver. Marcus Chen and Ingrid Halvorsen joined us. We'll keep watching the agentic Gemini era because this one is not just a product cycle, it is a power shift.